Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon. Welcome, everyone. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Store all laid out in a way where it's so easy to get around. Plenty of help. On top of everything else, plenty of help. And they also have water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And, of course, that happens to be right at the register when you exit. And the pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf, Kevin Herr getting ready for the big showdown tonight between Mifflinburg and Shikellamy. Something must give.
Yeah, both teams move the ball quite well offensively, and Mifflinburg throws the ball really well. That's been a tough part for Shikellamy's defense. Shikellamy's been running the ball quite well.
No,
Mifflinburg's been
struggling
defensively.
Something must give. I thought I had it right.
It's going to be a question of which one of the defenses makes the big plays.
Yeah, something has to give.
High school football has been hard to I don't want to say predict, because it's really almost impossible to predict high school football, period. But it's been
hard to guide
and understand.
Football everywhere has been.
The NFL's been really tough to pick, I thought.
Well, what about college? How many of you thought, that's all every single week there's something. Ohio State hasn't really played all that great in beating teams. Alabama lost at home to Ole Miss last week. Stanford took apart USC after losing to Northwestern. Greg Pickle from Penn Live is going to join us today. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, joining us on the show today as well. Kevin somehow feels college football has been predictable to this point.
I didn't say that.
I just want to point out. Was Jordan Reed in the witness protection program last night? This was your big stat of the day.
He was the leading receiver for the Redskins.
Yeah, sure. I don't really care. No.
Okay. He had 98 yards receiving?
No factor. Zero. Well,
no, there wasn't. I don't think there was much of an offensive factor at all for the Redskins, so that's not a fair statement. And I don't think the Redskins' offense was a factor anywhere.
No factor.
Their running game was controlled. The passing game, and Kirk Cousins seems to have an issue with the Giants. He seems to really struggle against the Giants' defense.
He struggles against a lot of teams. He's now 0-8 in his career when he's thrown two interceptions or better in a game, and he threw two last night, which were huge. Plus, the Giants blocked a punt, never trailed, and won the game. In fact, the Giants hadn't given up a kickoff return, it would have been worse. And your guy that you singled out for the game
was the best receiver on the Redskins team.
It's milk carton time. Wow.
Best receiver on the team. 6 catches, 96 yards, targeted 9 times in the game, only three short of Pierre.
Okay, Once again, repeating, no factor. The Giants' tight ends were better last night.
Right.
They were gaining yards and scoring touchdowns.
What I said was he was
1-0.
He was effective for the Redskins.
Effective for what? Their offense
for
scored
the season.
14 points.
For the season, he's been the effective receiver and an effective tight end. I didn't say he was the best tight end in the league. I didn't say he was going to have a great night last night, but he still was the leading receiver.
You compared his stats to Gronk's.
One stat. One particular stat.
It's the only stat you brought out.
Yeah. Well, that was the one stat where he actually did better than a lot of tight ends. I think it was fourth or fifth on the tight end list in yards per route.
It's too many stupid stats. You got to be able to pick out, literally, in all seriousness, all kidding aside, one of the things you have to do in this business today, you've got to pick out stats that make sense. What makes sense to the thought process of the game. Last week going into the game, what was the matchup of the night that we picked out? Carl Nassib against J.J. Denman. Why did we pick Carl Nassib against J.J. Denman? Why? Because the stats showed that of all the offensive linemen, Denman had exponentially more trouble against rush ends than anybody else in the offensive line. I mean, in fact, the graph shows by a wide margin. Against a guy who has played at a very high level the first 2 weeks. That's why we picked that matchup as the matchup of the night. Okay, because that stat made sense. Guy that's hot playing off the edge versus a guy that has struggled with pass rushers off the edge, and it shows statistically. You've got to be able to weed in today's overburdened stats world. You know, I've made fun of WAR before. I mean, wins above replacement, which I just find to be absurd. Hey, here's a dartboard. I think Mike Trout might be better than the guy that replaces him. Yes, I think I've got a handle on that. Yes. But that's not a stat that I find to be usable. It's not usable. It's common sense that the guy that replaces Mike Trout is not going to be Mike Trout. It's common sense. Just like it's common sense that the guy that replaces Miguel Cabrera is not going to be Miguel Cabrera. So that's common sense. You got to pick out today, you've got to be judicious about what stats mean. What do they mean? Tomorrow, for example, San Diego State plays Penn State. San Diego State's wide receivers only have 43 yards after the catch for the season. Thus, they have been an under 10-yard passing station-to-station pass game. The running backs, meanwhile, have 111 yards after the catch for the season. Well, that's because not only do they line up in the slot, but they do a lot of things to put them in space to then get them going. That's what that stat means. Now, saying that he's got more targets per route than what, that means nothing.
Yards per route.
Whatever. It means nothing.
No, it means he's making big catches when he is going out. That's what it means. It means when he runs a route, he's actually getting yards in those routes. And you know they're not throwing to him every time he goes out on a route. That's where I think that stat's effective.
They already have that stat. It's called average yards per catch. They already have that stat. Okay, that's all it means. Okay, if you want to do that, then let's take the San Diego State tight end. He's averaging 36 yards per route. They threw to him once.
No, that you're assuming he only went out for a pass one time.
I've got the analytic.
So you're saying in three games he's only gone out for one pass?
Well, they have three tight ends.
Now, he may have only caught one pass, but
no,
that doesn't mean
the full
he went.
Thing.
So he only went out on one route, and that's the one they threw to him.
Right. Right, that was in the game against the University of San Diego, the FCS team. They put him in late in the game.
Do you know how that stat is never going to be calculated? Because you at least have to go on five routes to be calculated.
Yeah, but I've got the full analytic rundown. You've got something that comes in some sort, whatever. Okay? I mean, that stuff is so irrelevant. It's irrelevant. And that's my point. There's no relevancy to it. Right? There's no relevancy.
X amount of yards per route.
Like, there's no relevancy to it. It's not, it doesn't make, okay, I can watch the game and I can tell you who's the better player. Now, do I think Jordan Reed's a good player? Yeah. I felt when watching him, because he played both tight end and quarterback against Penn State in the Outback Bowl. Played both. Because he used three different quarterbacks in the Outback Bowl.
That. I remember you saying that.
Okay. I felt the tight end was going to be his position in the NFL, and he had the body to be an NFL tight end. I mean, nobody handed me the route tree.
Second leading receiver on the field last night, too.
It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter. They scored 14 points. I mean, who was better than him? Beckham was better than he was last night. Randall was better than he was last night. They're just better. Garcon was better than he was last night.
So just because they ended up catching a touchdown pass?
No, because they made plays. They got first downs. They were involved in what was going on. They were involved in the winning and the losing of the game. There are periods of time he's invisible. Meanwhile, Beckham's over there getting doubled.
That was some of the worst double team coverage in the history of football, though.
But again, the stat you give is just one of those make believe stats. It's like the Antonio Brown thing. He's had X 50 straight games with five kids. Who cares? I don't care.
You kept saying that before, and I don't understand. I mean, I'm not defending the stat, but to me, that stat says that no matter how dominant of a receiver and how many times they double cover him, he's still able to average 5 yards a catch or five catches a game.
Excuse me, how many of them are flanker screens? How many are hitch patterns?
That
how many
I will
are legit
give you.
Downfield? Okay, it's an irrelevant stat.
That
it doesn't
I'll give
matter.
You.
Okay, I want significant plays. Okay, how many? Okay, when I look at a guy, you know, one of the first things I look at when I look at a stat? Okay, how many first downs off of his catches? How many first downs do you have off your catches?
No, that's a good stat. I can agree with
you.
You
got 30 something catches, I got 26 first downs. That tells me he's getting the ball beyond the sticks. That's a relevant stat. Yards per route in the tree, woo.
But doesn't yards per catch help you with that, too?
To a point?
Because last night, Jordan Reed averaged 14 yards a catch.
But you got to be able to watch the game and the relevancy of the game. Okay? Let's be frank about it. Jordan Reed, like everybody else in the Redskins offense, was irrelevant last night.
Well,
they scored 14 points last night, had done nothing in the first half. Cousins had a pile of yards in the second half. But at that point, the damage had already been done. You're now playing catch-up offense, which means your running game is now gone, and you're not balancing the game out anymore. They're playing a prevent. The Giants are playing a prevent defense. What was the Giants' number one job last night? What was the number one job of the Giants' defense in the second half?
Don't give up the lead.
No, don't let anybody get behind you.
Well, that's what I mean by don't give up the lead. I mean,
right. Guess what? So that means everything underneath is open. So I don't care about your route, your yards per route. They're trying to make sure you don't get in the end zone. Guess what? They got in the end zone. How many times? Once? The offense got in the end zone one time the whole night.
Yeah, I believe it was a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, one. I mean, a pass play set up. But still, one time all night they got in the end zone as an offense. Once. Okay? I mean, that's... What does that do? Okay? And again, you're playing catch-up, so you've now shelved the running game. The running game is now out of it because the Giants took you out of the running game. They're rushing four guys. The Giants didn't blitz that much. They dropped seven back. The whole thing was, don't get behind me.
The
only other touchdown they scored was on a kickoff return.
Listen, let's face it. The major stat of the game was -3 in turnovers for Washington. That was the big stat.
Sure, that was the big stat of the game. And the fact that Eli Manning did not turn the ball over once.
No, he didn't.
I mean, so...
What about the what about over 2.5 seconds? What about holding the ball over 2.5 seconds? Did he, I, I
I don't know.
Did he hold the ball longer than 2.5?
I don't care. Okay? I watched the game. They had control over what they were doing with the game. I don't need to sit there. I don't sit with a stopwatch. I watch. I observe. I don't sit there with a stopwatch. Do you? Do you sit there with a stopwatch?
Well, last night I would have because of that particular stat, yeah.
Sad. You do like the rest of us, fall asleep in the fourth quarter. We'll come back with
that.
More in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention car buyers, if you've been waiting for a deal of a lifetime, the time is now. During the month of September, take advantage of savings like never before. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has special purchase deals. New cars at certified used prices. That's right, brand new 2014 Hyundai blowouts with full warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Buy a Hyundai Sonata 2.0 Limited with over $9,000 in savings. Or a Hyundai Genesis R-Spec Sedan, an unbelievable $14,000 off. Or a Hyundai Elantra GT, $7,300 in savings. We only have five of these cars left with over $48,000 in savings. And it is only at the official sponsor of Great Cars at Great Prices, Sunbury Motors Hyundai and the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Or online at sunburymotors.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
My point is simple on the stats of today. We have more of them than ever before as broadcasters. We have so many numbers to choose from. You just got to be smart about what fits the moment, what fits the game. And Kevin actually, I think, has an advantage of having fewer stats during high school football. You just do the game.
It's funny. I was just about ready to say to you, that's the one thing you can say about high school football. The stats you have are basically the bare-bones stats, and that's it. Yards, catches, throwing, touchdowns, interceptions, sacks. That's pretty much it.
I mean, there's certain things, for example, like take tomorrow. I'll mention tomorrow that San Diego State out of that 3-3-5. Blitzes 64% of the time. All right, now that's a relevant stand for you, the fans, saying, gee, more than half the time they're going to blitz. Right? That's what that means. So you try to use stuff that fits and works for the situation and explains what they're trying to do. Pretty simple. Other stuff? I was given a 32-page rundown on San Diego State.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, yeah. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to stock up for the weekend. Get ready for the tailgate. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drinks, snacks, water. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Wouldn't that look great at the tailgate, huh? Pickle bar is second to none. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tell them Steve and Kevin sent you. It won't get you a discount, but it'll make us feel better.
And really, today, that's all what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kevin had to turn his car in today.
Yeah, I had to stop by Sunbury Motors Hyundai and talk to Skip and Danielle and the folks there and hand over the keys. I tried the push-button start in the 2016 Hyundai Tucson Sport all-wheel drive, and without the key fob inside, it didn't do anything. That's a nice safety feature, but it's not fun if you had to turn in the keys and you were trying to drive off the lot with it. But the good news is, you now have an opportunity to grab the key fob and push the push button start and enjoy the all-wheel drive comfort of the Sunbury Motors Hyundai Tucson Sport. It has driving modes that include sport and normal and in econo mode as well. I like the sport driving mode. Just tightens up the steering a little bit, makes it a little bit more fun to drive. And knowing you have all-wheel drive to keep you safe and keep you on the road all winter is a nice feature as well. Find out more about the car that is well under $30,000 and also comes with America's best warranty, the 2016 Hyundai Tucson Sport from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury.
Check out Halftime tonight on Periscope. Kevin will have the next vehicle available for you to see.
Actually, I haven't done the Periscope part yet. We'll have to do that. We're going to probably do that on Monday. But we'll be debuting it during the broadcast tomorrow night. Or tonight, rather.
Well, there you go. I didn't know if you took care of the Periscope thing and then showed everyone at halftime.
Periscope's live. Periscope is originally done live and recorded at the same time.
Well, you know what's great is that you could go out during the game, do that while Dave does the game.
There's a lot of people that are hoping for that to happen some year. It hasn't for the last 18, but, you know, there's always a first time.
Thought I'd float it, see what happens.
I mean, technically we could because, you know, Trophy's got the halftime report and back here at the studio. So there might be enough time to periscope the vehicle.
Absolutely. All right. Time to bring in Greg Pickle, PennLive.com. Hi, Greg. Welcome.
Hey, Steve. Pleasure to be here. How are you this afternoon?
Doing well. Thanks for taking some time out. When you have watched Penn State the last couple of weeks make incremental steps, what has impressed you?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that stand out to me, Steve, and I'll go through each of the three units. Offensively, you know, you can, after the Buffalo game, I think that you could see the progress, but at times you could also say, well, maybe that was because it was against Buffalo. But when you go back and watch that Rutgers game, I encourage anyone that wants to see, you know, the direction this Penn State offensive line might be heading. I say might be because we saw at times last year where it took steps forward and then went backwards. But the Akil Lynn 75-yard touchdown run was just so impressive. I mean, Derek Dowery took his guy almost the whole way to the sideline. Everything worked right on that play. And there may have been some miscues by the Rutgers defense in terms of where they lined up, but everything worked from a blocking standpoint, and I think that's encouraging for Herb Hand and those guys because there were a lot of plays like that against the Scarlet Knights. You know, defensively, I think we've sort of all have figured out by now. I think we figured out week one that the defensive line was no problems whatsoever in terms of replacing Deion Barnes and T.J. Alanian with Carl Nassib and Garrett Sickles and some other guys Evan Schwann has worked in. And a couple other guys have as well. So, but defensively, I think that when we saw what we expected to see with the return of Brandon Bell and Grant Haley, you know, you could sort of see that Penn State's defense was maybe a little bit lost on the field in terms of not having all of the guys voice-wise that they usually have. And for that occasion against Rutgers when they had those guys back, clearly, you know, there are things are going in the right direction with those two backs. So that's big news there. And then on special teams, it's just been terrific. I mean, Chris Gulla has been outstanding over one game punting, five punts for him against Rutgers. I was very impressed by that. Again, though, it's sort of a thing we have to wait and see on, though, because we saw him punt very well at the start of last season. And then, of course, he was replaced by Daniel Pasquariello. But, yeah, so I thought that was encouraging as well. And then special teams as a whole have just been so much better, and I think there's a lot that goes into that. But that's been a really surprising thing for me based on what we were expecting before the season to see after the first three games.
What has the athleticism and actually the use of scholarship players, in your opinion, meant to an improvement in special teams?
Well, I think that when you look at, you know, teams around the country that have, you know, a full complement of scholarship players and had a full complement of scholarship players, you know, they're fast on special teams. And last year, that was one of probably the biggest things that Penn State wasn't. They weren't fast. They sort of plodded along on a lot of their coverage teams, and it gave opponents time to field the ball. Kickoffs weren't great. Sam Ficken was wonderful at a lot of things at that position. Kickoffs weren't one of them. And, you know, combine that with the lack of speed on the coverage teams last year, and that's why you saw Penn State put its defense in some bad field positions and also gave up some kick return touchdowns last year. And then the punt game as well. You know, with the speed they have, and Bob Flounders, my partner at Penn Live, pointed this out the other day, with the speed they have on the punt team now, and the gunners they have with the athleticism, their ability to tackle, and the ability to get downfield. You know, James Franklin said it on the radio show with you 2 weeks ago when he said, you know, that they needed to punt it 40 yards. I believe I'm going to quote this right. Correct me if not. But 40 yards, a 4.0 hang time, and they want them to position it properly. And as long as these guys do that, they do two of the three. You know, this group of punt coverage guys is athletic enough and good enough to pretty much limit any return game possible. But it all comes down to the punting. And if Chris Gullett does what he did, you know, last week throughout the rest of the season, then, you know, clearly that's a worry that goes away for Penn State.
When you have watched, Greg, the three H-back tight ends, Mike Gesicki, Brent Wilkerson, Kyle Carter, what's been your thought in what they have brought to the offense in a multitude of ways?
Well, first off, I don't think they need to recruit a fullback, as has been suggested recently. But in terms of what those guys bring to the offense, look, I think that with Mike Gesicki and Brent Wilkerson and Kyle Carter, I do believe there's plays to be made there, both in the run game as blockers and then the pass game as receivers. But it seems to me that, you know, there seems to be maybe a disconnect of some sort between exactly how they want to use those guys and how those guys are sort of equipped to play and prepared to play. But when they put those guys back there, you know, I can't recall many, if any, missed blocks that they had, you know, assignment-wise. Of course, without knowing the play call, it's hard to completely be accurate on that fact. But just from watching it with the naked eye, those guys seem to be able to pick up their assignments and get, you know, help get the running backs up. You know, there was a lot that, of course, that went into the rushing success Penn State had against Rutgers, and I do think those guys were one of them. I don't think there's any question about that.
I think when all of us sat down last week to talk about Rutgers, all of us had a complete handle on what Rutgers had and didn't have. That's because Penn State played them last year. Sure, there's some different changes. Gary Nova's no longer the quarterback and so forth. But here comes San Diego State in, and obviously you've got to call some people, talk to some people, look at some tape. But what about the mystery of it is when you have not played someone before?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, especially when they don't run a normal defense. You know, they run this 3-3-5 that James Franklin has talked about repeatedly over the course of the week. You know, they're going to bring some stuff out that nobody, including Penn State, has seen on tape before. So it's interesting. You know, I think, obviously, film study is big. You know, Christian Hackenberg's relationship with California quarterback Jared Goff is big because Goff and California beat them 35-7, I believe it was, 2 weeks ago.
Yes,
so that
was.
Definitely helps. And, you know, obviously Penn State's coaches probably have some relationships like that that they're leaning on this week. But, yeah, it is certainly unique when, you know, the other thing, too, is that they run a little bit, you know, a lot of West Coast, Mountain West, and West Coast team in general run things a little bit differently in terms of the way their offense is set up. So that's sort of unique as well. You know, a lot of Big Ten teams, you can sort of put them into a category in terms of what they do. I'm not sure how you do that with San Diego State. That said, quite a few teams, including South Alabama, have figured out how to stop them. So I think for Penn State, you know, the game, they should be able to execute South Alabama's game plan better, I would assume, just considering the talent difference. So there's definitely clues out there, especially with the way San Diego State has started. It hasn't been a good start. Teams have sort of figured out that, you know, they need to key in on the running back and let Maxwell Smith, the quarterback, beat them. And so far, that's led the Aztecs to a 1-2 record when they, you know, coming into Penn State this weekend.
With Greg Pickle of PennLive.com, always a pleasure to have him on. Greg, everyone wants to know about the recruiting component. What about visits this weekend, and what is the third consecutive weekend Penn State's home?
Yeah, so it's sort of one of those interesting things when you start talking about the third of five home games in a row. I mean, at some point here, I would think attendance is going to get a little iffy just because that's a lot of driving and a lot of traveling for folks 5 weekends in a row. And from the recruiting aspect of it, you know, it's going to be a smaller weekend. Rutgers was the biggest weekend that they'll have over the five-game homestand here. And this one's going to be a little bit smaller. There's a couple kids coming in. I'm going to butcher his name, but Ether Matos is a guess of how to pronounce it. He's a four-star 2017 kid out of Virginia. He was up here with his family back in the summer. He's a really talented kid, and he'll be back in this weekend. They're actually coming up Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so Penn State will have a chance to do some extra things with these kids that, you know, a lot of times official visits for game days are a bit crazy, especially, you know, there's not really any good kick time to have, you know, as much time with recruits as coaches would like. 3:30 can get a little crazy, but it's maybe the best one because 12, you get up and pretty much go to the stadium. 8, you know, you're in meetings most of the day and whatnot. So, you know, they'll get some time with him. There'll be a couple other kids on hand as well, but this will probably be one of the smaller weekends of the season, Steve, I would think.
With visits, obviously you have players that are visiting that have already committed. That's always a case for February. How much are you seeing now percentage-wise of 17 visits during game weekends as opposed to 16s?
Yeah, it's a lot of 17, Steve, and there's a couple reasons for that. The first one is the 16 group is pretty much done for Penn State. There's only a few spots left, and those kids that want to visit will use their official visit in a most likely scenario to visit, and they'll use that for the Michigan game, or they'll come on unofficial and then visit officially after the season, or they'll just wait to officially visit after the season. So it's not a lot of 16 kids. You're looking at more of the type of guys that maybe walk-ons or come with a 2017 teammate. It's a lot of 2017 kids that want to see Penn State and check it out and get a feel for it. So through the early part of this homestand, that's what we've seen so far. A lot of sophomores, a lot of juniors.
As always, Greg, an absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot for your insight. We really appreciate it.
All right, Steve, you bet. Talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Greg Pickle, PennLive.com. Roger made a really good point. He was talking about the Redskins in the market for a quarterback, and he says, look, he said the fact that Matt Castle is who they ended up settling with the Cowboys tells you the depth and the weakness of the quarterback market. It's just not there. That's why when you get one, you re-sign them. You can talk to me all you want about the length and money of Eli Manning's contract, but tell me, who are the Giants getting that's better? Who? As soon as you can, it's one thing to say that they can do better. You've got to tell me who. And no one can answer that because that who is not available. The quarterback market, as Roger correctly points out, is tremendously lacking depth in the NFL. And you can't draft them these days. It's hard to draft them these days. You really got to hit it right. Got to hit it right. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
We didn't get to the Kevin Herr memo of the day. The ramblings.
Well, actually, you already touched on it a little bit with our email with Cousins and RG3.
Well, this is what Kevin wrote. I deserve more money because what does that mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. That wasn't supposed to be on there.
Oh, sad. All right, let's see what we got here. Kevin writes, Cousins had trouble again against the Giants' D2 picks. Do the Redskins look for a quarterback? No.
Well, and they can't shop, but they can't shop RG3 around either.
No, they can't.
Because,
there's nobody out there. There's nobody out there.
That's very true.
It's not, and that's the problem. I've dealt with this topic on the show how many times now, where I've talked about Bryce Petty's a great example. Being out there at Baylor playing video game football, but guess what? None of those guys are prepared to play in the league. Like, but look at all the yards he threw for. They can't read anything. Okay? They can't read a protection. They can't identify the mic. They can't identify the Sam. They can't tell you which guy in the protection is considered to be up and which guy is considered to be down. There are guys that are up linebackers that for protection purposes are called out as down. 54 is down. Just for protection purposes. You know, you may be at a price, go, 54's down, he's standing up. No, that's a protection call. He can't do that. He never had to do that. Okay, now let's get to the part where you got to read a coverage. I haven't even gotten to reading a coverage yet. Okay? They can't even get you into the right blocking pattern up front. They've never had to do it. So you look, don't get wowed by stats. As I've told everybody, plus or minus, Christian Hackenberg is going to be easy for the NFL to judge. Plus or minus. They can look at his footwork. They can look at his arm and make their evaluations based on the NFL because he plays in the NFL game. And if they like it, they'll pick him. If they don't like it, they won't. But as I've said how many times, he's an easy evaluation. And he will be able to sit down with them and talk their language. Okay, I'm going to throw a video up here. Tell me on the video. All right. Okay, 42 is the mic. I've got 54 as a down. I've got 92 as an up. Okay? Now, on the tape protection-wise, he's just told the center and the two guards tackle the two tight ends exactly what the protection plan is and who gets whom on that play. But he's done it in such a way where they know and the opposing team doesn't. Okay, Bryce Petty can't do that, as you can say with almost all of college quarterbacks. Almost all of college quarterbacks can't do that. Listen to it, okay? They do a great job in the NFL now of miking quarterbacks. How many times last night as you watched the game did you hear Eli Manning say, 42's the mic? You'll hear Peyton Manning do that. You'll say, 42's the mic. 96 is down. That's what NFL quarterbacks do to set protections in the offensive line and blocking patterns in the offensive line. That's what Christian Hackenberg will do tomorrow against San Diego State. It's going to be a really important part of the game tomorrow when he does that. But most college quarterbacks cannot do that. They're not used to having somebody talk into their headset. And they're not used to setting protections and identifying the Mike linebacker, which is a basic part of the game. But video game football doesn't have you do that. And option spread football does not have you do that. Thus, the NFL is really struggling with quarterbacks right now. Why do you re-sign Phillip Rivers to a long-term contract? Guess what? Tell me who they're going to get better. Tell me which guy they're going to draft is better. Which one? Okay? Kevin rails on Andy Dalton all the time. In all seriousness, who would you replace Andy Dalton with?
I don't think they have any. I don't think there is anybody, and I agree with you there. He's the best of what they have to work with. Same thing with the Redskins right now.
Right? That's the best guy they've got. And there's nobody out there to say, hey, let's go replace him with this guy. That guy isn't there right now. The pool of NFL quarterbacks, legitimate NFL quarterbacks, has shrunk over time instead of expanding. Now, there was a point, obviously, back in the 60s and 70s when the Rex Kearns and the Jack Mildrens were running options.